Welcome to the Behind the Curtain podcast, your real world guide to real estate investment and property management.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Curtain Real Estate Podcast. Today is our final part of a three-part series we've been doing about property management. Today we're going to be talking about exiting property management, why you might do that, and what your exit strategy might be with your investments.
Behind the Curtain Real Estate Podcast is sponsored by Memphis Real Estate Advisors. Memphis Real Estate Advisors is a realtor team led by husband and wife duo, Aaron and Alyssa Ivy. Bringing over 20 years of experience in both residential and commercial real estate sales and property management, the team works with investors, buyers, and sellers as a member branch office of the national franchise, EXP Realty. To get in contact with Memphis Real Estate Advisors, visit them online at memphisreadvisors.com or call 901-671-1015.
All right, Aaron. Well, today we're going to talk about exiting property management. What are some of the reasons that people do that?
Do you know there's so many reasons for exiting property management, but they really can be boiled down to, I no longer need to hold this property. Right. So when an investor says it's time for me to divest myself of real estate, and that can be for any reason, from growing older and not wanting the burden and the hassle of owning rental property. It could come down to the fact that you just changed your mind and you'd like to, as we've seen with some investors, you'd like to put your cash into something else that makes a cash on cash return and not lock it up into real estate. So that's one. Another one would be a change in like personal family situation. So in matters of marital dissolution, which is known as divorce, people often are required to liquidate rental property. And then another reason would be simply that you want to change how your real estate looks on paper. And it's not necessarily an offboarding move in that way, but it's a transitioning of your rental properties from your personal ownership to possibly ownership in the name of a corporation like an LLC or a C Corp or a family trust. There are all kinds of reasons to move property from personal ownership to basically the ownership and management of a corporation that you create yourself. There's also a growing trend of investors who have left their houses in order to be managed while they have to move away for a job or for some other reason. There's a trend where these homeowners are moving back into their properties that they had turned into a rental. So it's sort of the reversing of the onboarding process of your personal home, reversing that to be your primary residence again.
So seeing as what we're trying to do here in this series is talk about what expectation you should have of your property management company, what are we looking for in this exit process if I'm looking to take the property back because my circumstances have changed and I perhaps need to live there again?
When homeowners need to move back into their homes, which this is not a common thing. I want you to know that maybe 1% or less than 1% of our homeowners will take their house back to move back into it every year. So less than 1% every year. But in this situation, if you've handed Enterprise your family home and you've said, I'm being deployed, but I'll be back. In that situation, they would let us know, hey, I'll be back in 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, or in a year. Homeowners will tell us that. This happens a lot with military homeowners. So when they let us know, they give us a notice that they're coming back. We first call the tenant and we let them know, hey, we're not going to be able to renew your lease this next term, and the homeowner is going to be taking the property back. And we need to start the move out process for 3 months, 6 months, a year in advance. And so that gives the tenant in the home the opportunity to plan and prepare, which is what we all want to have. You know, we want to have time to make something a success. So it starts off by the homeowner saying, hey, I'm moving back. We tell the tenant, we're not going to renew the lease and we're going to ask you to vacate as of the end of the lease. And then once the tenant vacates the property, Lindsay assists the homeowner with turning on all of the services that they need to have turned on in their name and removing those services from enterprise property management. An example of that would be utilities. We don't want to receive that bill anymore. You know, we want the homeowner to start receiving the bill themselves. So at the vacancy, when the tenant moves out, instead of going back into our name, which is what is our normal process, we have the homeowner turn the utilities on in their name. And then we slowly assist them with getting the house ready if that's something that they want for us to do, or they may just take it back and say, we'll handle it. And yeah, we just hand it back and we say, you know, we enjoyed our time with you and thank you very much. And we'd love to serve you again if you have that need.
Now, is there any other points that would be important to make relative to this process of reestablishing possession of the home to live in it?
Yeah, I think one of the more important points is that there are fees that are being charged to the homeowner. And so they will need to have satisfied those fees. So for instance, if there's maintenance that we've paid for in advance, that homeowner will need to compensate Enterprise Property Management for that maintenance. If there are leasing and administrative fees, homeowners often need to go ahead and cut a check for that. Administrative fees may be that they interrupt the management of the home in the middle of the lease term. And in that situation, if we have to ask the tenant to vacate early, technically, the homeowner is obligated to pay out our management fees for the remainder of the term. This is something we can often negotiate with the homeowner, but these, you know, fees that they've committed to in our management agreement will need to be paid. And then the last thing is tenants will often leave owing Enterprise Property Management and the homeowner money. So we have to think about, what do we do with that debt? The answer is we have a collection agency that we work with when we cannot collect that from the tenant. We start trying to collect it first, right? But if the tenant is not amenable to making payments, or if they disappear off the map, the only recourse is to hire a licensed collection agency to do skip traces, find the tenant, and then make their efforts to collect that money before having to turn it over to a court for garnishment or judgments and things like that.
So in a previous episode, I'd asked you about evictions in Tennessee that you couldn't do a no-fault eviction. So what are the circumstances around taking a tenant out partway through the lease? Is this not an eviction? It's just a renegotiation?
Yes. I love the word renegotiation. I think that that's pretty much what we're talking about here. In a situation where the homeowner has a personal interest in taking the house back, they may have to do a couple of things to move the tenant out early. And that's if the tenant is actually open to moving early. I know this sounds very complicated. It's because it is. We interface with the tenant. We let them know that we need the house back early. The tenant then decides whether or not they have the flexibility to move out sooner than the end of the lease term. What we find is more than half the time, the tenant says, yeah, I can get out early. And that's great. So if the tenant moves out voluntarily as a part of that negotiation, then you don't have to induce or incentivize the tenant to move early. So that's the best case scenario. In a more common scenario, what we see is that the tenant says, I can move and I can move before the end of the lease term. I'm going to need some time to do that. And I'm going to need for you to offset the cost of leaving the property early, which is well within their rights. We cannot force them to leave if they're in the middle of a lease term and they are following all of the lease requirements. So in that situation, we would do something called cash for keys, where we will pay them a fee. Sometimes it could be 1 month's rent. Sometimes it could be the amount of the security deposit. And sometimes it can be a fee that's negotiated or an amount that's negotiated between the homeowner and the tenant. Whatever works best for all parties, we agree on that amount. And then we pay the tenant, which is weird. It's weird to think about me paying a tenant to leave a property. But it's something that if the homeowner is willing to offset that cost, we do that.
Have you ever had a situation where you've approached a tenant to renegotiate and ask them to leave early? They've said no, and then you've seen everything go south for the remainder of the lease.
You know, that's a tough one. I feel like tenants that we approve are usually quite flexible and capable of moving. They understand that they're renting a home that isn't theirs, and they also understand that we live in a very modern economy when it comes to how real estate is operated, right? So we all know somebody who is renting a property or was renting a property, and the landlord comes to them and says, hey, we're going to sell the property, or the stranger shows up at their front door and they say, we bought the property, right? All these crazy stories where the resident in a home feels very disconnected with the people that are controlling it and operating it. And since that's become sort of a common knowledge that this can happen, that the home that you're renting is not fully in your control, most tenants, when they hear either by text or letter or email or phone call that the house is moving in a different direction and we need to alter the terms of their lease, they are open to negotiating. They are not going to try to punish us for asking them to leave early. So I guess my answer to your question is no. I see so many more disastrous transitions, you know, upon a tenant's exit or the manner in which they've cared for the home have gone very, very south. I see that happening more with tenants who have had personal problems or relationship problems, and not so much in response to a request that they vacate early.
Let's talk about the people that have decided that they want to switch property management companies. What is the process there for them to exit and move to the next property management company? What should we be looking for the property management company to facilitate that process?
So I want to answer your question with two very important points. The first is that we offboard in a similar manner in which we onboard a property. So when you think about the onboarding part of this discussion, if you want to go back to that episode, you can hear the various steps that we take with onboarding, with making sure that a property is transitioned from either a property manager or, you know, let's say that a homeowner just closed on a property, or let's say that the homeowner is self-managing that property. Well, when we onboard it, there are several steps that we take, mainly through Lindsay Helton, who's our head of onboarding. And she makes sure that we have all the information that we need to move that property into the enterprise system. When we offboard, it's that in reverse. Somebody is taking over this house. Okay, so let's assume that the homeowner simply wants a change in management. You and I have discussed this earlier. This is something that happens with every management company. It's not even that the homeowner is saying that we're a bad company or that we didn't do a good job of managing. What they're looking for is some sort of change. As an example, I have this one Japanese investor who lives in Japan who split his portfolio between us and another property management company. And he did that because he wanted to watch how our processes and systems were different to see which one was better for his personal style of ownership. I see you nodding over there. Like, that makes sense, doesn't it? That's actually a very wise move on his part. And the reason that he did this is because when he had purchased the properties, he had not fully planned for performing maintenance on those properties. So the cost of maintenance for him was above an acceptable threshold on these other properties. We have had to work with that man for a long time. We are very affectionate with him, care for him very much. He's a good guy. And he's slowly learning how Americans operate real estate, right? So that was one reason why he chose to move one of his properties, he has like five, over to this other company. And we're cool with that. So in that movement situation, we're dealing with a new property management company. And that property management company has a list of documents and information that they need from us. And they will tell us what those are. And then we just produce that. Of course, as we've said before, everything that we have as documentation is scanned electronically, and we're holding it in our server, if you will, or in the cloud. First of all, we give that new management company everything that they've asked for, and we do it very quickly. It's because we understand how challenging it is, you know, when a management company doesn't give us that information as quickly as possible, and it can hold up the transition. So again, give them all that information, and then we give the homeowner all that information as well, because homeowners need to have copies of the documentation, just like the manager does. What if that manager doesn't work out, right? What if something happens in the homeowner's life where they have to liquidate those properties quickly? At least we know we've done our job to give them all of that documentation. The second thing would be that homeowners leave and come back often. So there's another homeowner that comes to mind that bought a large number of properties, something like, I don't know, 25. Okay. These were very low income properties in developing neighborhoods, very low income. Okay. And I mean, very low. And enterprise property management does not specialize in very low income properties. We specialize in middle income. And that's where the bulk of tenants are that we want to work with. But when he saw us struggle with very low income properties, he chose to take that portion of his portfolio and hand it to a management company that was less organized, honestly, less visible, much more boots on the ground, much more, you know, managers that actually live in these low income areas that understand the mentality of those tenants. And I had no problem with that at all. You know, I said, sir, I absolutely support you in this. We'll split your portfolio. Once again, he didn't fire us. He just said, I think that another company could manage this particular type of property better than you can, but we're going to leave the ones that you do well with you.
I think that's a very important point. You know, when you're shopping for a property management company, ask that question. What is the typical property that you manage? Make sure that it is in the scope of the property that you're looking to have managed.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that knowing the skill set of the company that you fall in love with, it's kind of like dating, right? Like, you know, you see the person you want to be with from across the way and you approach them and you're full of feels and you get excited. But in the end, you really need to know what that person's values are, right? And so it's very similar with property management. Obviously, we're talking right now on a podcast. This is a free podcast, right? And so our value is to inform the customer that we work with of who we are and what their options are, and then to support them in their vision and their strategy for making money in real estate. That's why we're having a conversation about timing of offboarding. This is not something that makes us money. In fact, if anything, when properties offboard, we watch the profit that we would make as a management company go away. This is not something that we enjoy. We wish we could manage everything for everybody, but it makes sense that people have goals and strategies. We don't often fit into all of their strategies.
For the people that have questions right now and want to talk to you personally, how can they get in touch with you?
You can text me directly on my cell. That number is 901-461-0905. I shut that phone off usually about 11 o'clock at night, so don't reach out too late. But I generally work about 7 days a week and would love to talk to you about your struggles with property management, your interest in growing your portfolio, anything like that.
So let's move on to change in ownership and how that might impact the property management relationship.
That's a great direction to go in at this point. So change in ownership can happen on multiple different levels. We will get to sales in a moment, but let's start with a reorganization of the entity or persons that own the property. Often investors are advised by CPAs or other tax professionals or certified financial planners that they need to be holding assets in different buckets under the name of different entities. A smart move that investors have made ever since the invention of the LLC, which has only been very recently, by the way, I think in the 70s, the LLC was invented, is to put the properties in the name of a limited liability company. I have two of those, and I own all of my real estate in the names of those LLCs. So if the investor has been given the advice to put the ownership of the properties or to convey the properties into an LLC, then that is a change in ownership, if you will. From a tax basis, you are still the owner, but now you're the owner of the LLC or the corporation that owns the properties. And there are lots of videos and TikToks and things out there that you can go watch that will explain why this is a benefit to you. So in that situation, what we do is very simple. It's very administratively focused, clerically focused. We ask the homeowner the information that we need for the LLC. We ask for proof of that LLC, usually some sort of state filing that shows that it is indeed a legal entity. And then we transition in-house all of our softwares and programs to that new contact information and that new owner information. And we get a new management agreement from them as well that basically shows that they're signing under the name of the LLC. And then we also help them to understand they've got to call their insurance company. They've got to call the tax assessor, right? Like, these people also need to know that there is a change that's happening in the ownership and the corporate status of the ownership of those properties. So that's a big one. And we do a lot of advising in that regard. And of course, we don't charge for it. And, you know, we want you to be successful. And if there is something that we don't have a license to advise on, such as finances or tax information or legal, we have connections that we can send to you and suggestions of people to work with.
One thing I want to point out here is we have mentioned LLC, but that's really something you need to talk to an attorney about. And from your accounting standpoint, talk to your accountant as well.
You know, Richard, I feel like we're almost coming to the end of this episode. I think we may even need to have an episode that's solely on selling investment property and how that works and the different options that investors have to sell those properties with enterprise property management.
I think that's a good idea, but let's just talk briefly about the sales process. We've decided that for whatever reason, we don't want our investment property anymore. Where do we go from here and how do we sever that property management agreement?
Sure. And I think your question was, we don't want to own that property anymore. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. So there's so many different directions we can take with this. First of all, I have to plug the other brokerage that I'm the broker of here in Memphis, which is Memphis Real Estate Advisors, brokered by eXp Realty. I know that's a mouthful. And trust me, we tried to make it a shorter name, but that's the one we've got. Memphis Real Estate Advisors, brokered by eXp Realty. The great thing about Memphis Real Estate Advisors is that the ownership and the management of that sales company is the same as enterprise property management. Memphis Real Estate Advisors is requested to evaluate the property from two different standpoints. And this is so, so crucial. And I really want to unpack this more in another episode. We explore the liquidation of that property to another investor, right? Like if we were to maintain that property or portfolio of properties as investment properties, that's on one hand, what's something that we would do. But on the other hand, enterprise actually manages a lot of solidly middle income to upper middle income properties that are really in this current market and current economy, they're really not going to be well suited for another investor. They're just too expensive, right? For instance, we have a small community called Arlington. It's in our county, Shelby County, and Arlington is full of owner occupant, oftentimes first-time home buyer properties and move-up properties, right? It's really not an investment community. No, but it started off as an investment community, right? So I think the listener is beginning to understand the growth in the value of these properties, the cost of entry, very difficult to get into for an investor. So long story short, we have to turn those properties into a retail sale. So Memphis Real Estate Advisors can help with both of those. We've got investors that are always looking to buy. One of the ways we're going to encourage the investor that we work with to divest themselves of these properties is to find what's called an arm's length transaction. Let's find somebody that already works with Enterprise or wants to work with Enterprise. They've contacted me. I'm working with several right now. And they say, Aaron, I want to buy 10 properties in the next year. I'm going to be buying in cash, or I'm going to be buying in part financing, part cash. These are the people that want to buy your houses when you're done owning them.
And how does that work in tandem with discontinuing a property management arrangement?
Great question. So, listener, what Richard's saying is, obviously, enterprise property management cannot be hired to manage it and it be sold simultaneously. That's the logical sense of it, but there is a bit of a gray area in between. When we transition the property into the sales process, enterprise property management is still going to be essential for maintaining its regular daily and weekly functions. You will continue to maintain your billing of services such as utilities or trash pickup or grass cutting, lawn cutting. All of that will still go through enterprise property management, whereas Memphis Real Estate Advisors will be in control of all of the selling, the marketing, any payment that we have for photographers, stuff like that, that will be handled by Memphis Real Estate Advisors. So the gray area or the overlap is that these two companies need to be able to communicate with one another to make sure that the property is maintained and marketed and we're moving in the proper direction together in tandem. So the cool thing about staying in-house with the enterprise companies is that everybody talks to each other. There's not this disconnect of, well, I guess I have to fire Enterprise and hire this other company to sell my house. Actually, it's all under one roof, which makes it really, really cool. It makes for seamless transitions between Lindsay and the job that she does in onboarding and offboarding, because she has a direct communication to me and my wife who run Memphis Real Estate Advisors.
Just as a final thought, the relationship between sales and property management is under one roof here. But for people in other cities or people working with a property management company that doesn't offer sales, what are the greatest top tips you can give them to make that transaction smooth?
Great question. I think the very, very first thing is you've got to be comfortable with your sales agent. I would even say fall in love, if you can, with your sales agent. If it's not going to be under the same roof as your management company, you need to have full trust and confidence that the person that you are handing your property to is going to be able to manage it properly. Another important thing to know and be aware of, if your management company is not related to your sales company, is that that management company will most likely not be managing your services for your vacant property during that vacancy, during the sales process. That means that you as the homeowner are going to have to take that responsibility back on. And that's a huge undertaking for homeowners who have gotten very used to a management company being very efficient in managing these things. So homeowner, please hear me. Your utilities, your lawn care, your improvements to the property, your funding of capital improvements to the property prior to sale, your funding and payment of advertising, and any other fees that your realtor will require of you, that will all have to be managed by you in your own home. So if you're not organized enough to be able to handle this, you may want to talk to your realtor about services that they may offer to be able to handle the bookkeeping, if you will, and the management of the property while it's vacant. The last thing that you want to do is to have your home just sitting out there with nobody watching it while it's for sale. During the boom, realtors were extremely busy. And so it was not uncommon for us to drive by several houses where there is a for sale sign in the yard and tall grass, or people parking in the grass, or a tree leaning on the home. Like, there's all kinds of things that happen that if you're not watching can really harm the effort that you're making to try to sell the property for top dollar.
So just to round up, why don't you give your contact details again? How can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Easiest thing for you to do is to text me directly to my cell, which is 901-461-0905. And as the broker of both the management company and our sales company that we mentioned before, I can handle all of your questions. So feel free to reach out to me and we can discuss your hopes and dreams and plans for the future.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more, go to propertymanagementmemphis.com and you'll find the podcast there. And you'll also find details of all the services that Aaron can offer.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Curtain Podcast, your real-world guide to real estate investment and property management. Be sure to subscribe at behindthecurtainpodcast.com. And if you'd like to learn more about Enterprise Property Management's real estate services, please visit us on the web at epmrealestate.com. This has been a Sound Ideas Group production for Enterprise Property Management, Inc.